Get out of here in 6 minutes flat.
But we're not going to do that. We're going to let the Lord lead tonight. Because I believe it's an important time to bring our hearts in line with what God would have for us. Tonight, the message is titled, Don't Give Up. Don't Give Up. Turn with me, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark tonight, if you would, please. The Gospel of Mark. And once you're there, find your way to chapter number 9. Mark, chapter number 9. And we're going to be looking at, several verses here in the middle of the chapter. I want to share with you tonight some thoughts that, some thoughts that were really kind of laid on my heart as I was reading through this chapter this morning, early. It's likely a very familiar account. I'm sure most of you have read through Mark a time or two, or at least through this account. I know that I've read through it several times. I've heard a number of messages, a number of sermons preached through this chapter. But for reasons that perhaps only the Lord knows and fully understands, I feel like I'm being compelled tonight just to share this with you. It struck my heart this morning pretty profoundly, I think. And again, I don't necessarily fully understand why. But that's the plan tonight. God knows what we all need. God knows what I need. And I'll trust that the Holy Spirit can work in your heart tonight as he's been working in mine. Stand with me, if you would, as we're going to read through this text. I'll begin reading Mark chapter 9. I'll begin reading in verse number 14, and we're going to read down through verse 27. The Bible here says in the Gospel of Mark, "And when he," that's Jesus, "came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, Jesus asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we look to this message tonight, don't give up. Lord God, I can only ask that the Holy Spirit will fill us in this place. Fill me with thy spirit so that, Lord, your message comes from the pages of your word through this pulpit. Father, may it speak to my heart and to others tonight in only the way that you would have it to. Lord, if there's anything that you would have me to not say, Lord, bind my tongue. Lord, may it be only the Holy Spirit that speaks through this message. I pray that your will is accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. So I'm sure that you are familiar at least somewhat, with this passage. And in essence, what we are going to be looking at tonight is not so much the need for the fasting and the prayer, because verse 29 of this, the disciples have come to Jesus and they said, "Why weren't we able to cast him out?" Jesus said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting." That's typically where you'll find this passage leading, but that's not so much the essence of what I want to look at tonight. Tonight, it's the burden of the Father in this account. The burden of the Father that will be our focus. Now, it may not be that we can all relate directly to this man in terms of having a demon-possessed child, such as the Scripture recounts here. But I do believe that we all have a burden. I believe that we all have something in our life, something in our heart, something in the recesses of our mind, something in our past, perhaps, that we have to wrestle with. It's a burden to us. Maybe you have shared it with others, maybe you have not. But it's a burden that we wrestle with. And because of that, we can relate at least to some of the characteristics of this father in this passage. Now, maybe you do have a child, or perhaps you have a grandchild, or maybe a brother or a sister, or maybe even a close friend that is really not walking with the Lord the way they should be. They profess to be a Christian, but they've gone wayward, and they're not walking as they ought to walk, as we know Scripture says that we should walk. Perhaps they're not walking with the Lord at all. Perhaps they're not even saved, and that's your burden. Maybe there's a long-term or an extremely serious health issue. Perhaps it's a terminal health issue by all accounts of human wisdom. Perhaps it could be some specific sin that you can't seem to gain the victory over. Now, those are some serious burdens, and I don't expect anyone to share any of that with me. I trust that you'll share it with the Lord, and I trust that you'll take it to the Lord in earnest prayer. Now, I cannot begin to presume to know how the Lord might use this message tonight in your life, but I do know that if we will allow the Lord to work in our hearts, if we'll allow the Lord to touch our hearts and to work in our lives, He will show us how this portion of Scripture, this portion of God's Word applies to us individually and perhaps even as families. Does your family have a burden? Do you have a family burden for others? Do you have a family burden, perhaps, for extended members of your family? Do you have a burden for your coworkers? Now, we know from the text that this father has asked Jesus' disciples to cast out this evil spirit. I mean, we read that. We understand it. Cast out this evil spirit from his son. But they could not. Now, that has apparently caused quite a commotion, as we see right there in the beginning of our text. Look again in verses 14 through 16. "And when he," Jesus, "came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes," that's the press, if you will, that's those that are recording things for posterity, "the scribes were questioning with the multitude," they're questioning with the disciples, "and straightway all the people, when they beheld him," Jesus, "were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?'" You see, there was a huge commotion. Now remember that Jesus' disciples had already been granted the power over unclean spirits. Turn back a few pages with me to Mark chapter 6, and let's see this indeed. Mark chapter 6, looking in verse number 7 to begin. "And he," Jesus, "called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits." Look at verse 12 with me. "And they went out," the disciples, "they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them." Okay, so the disciples have been granted this power to heal. They've been granted the power over unclean spirits to be able to cast them out. And yet, here in our text, you can imagine the ruckus when these men of God, when these disciples of Jesus Christ were professing Christ and had been successful with healing the sick and the possessed, now face a situation in which should be like any other, but they're not able to cast out this demon. Can you imagine what kind of chatter, what kind of talk? Wow, some Christians, I knew it was all a hoax. Yeah, you guys are full of hot air. Okay, so that's a little bit contemporary. I don't suppose they talk like that in the disciples' time. But you get the point. Can you imagine? You guys have been talking about Christ. You've been talking about how Jesus has given you power and you've been casting out demons in Jesus' name. And here, now you've got a challenge and you can't do it. What happened? So much for your power. All the naysayers. All those that want to just scorn the situation. Here they are. They've been successful. But now their profession and their ability to cast out demons has been challenged. What kind of scorning and disbelief is generated when we, who claim to be the children of an almighty, loving, and forgiving God, are faced with a situation that we cannot answer or resolve for someone else. Now, okay, we haven't been granted the specific power over unclean spirits. We haven't necessarily been granted the specific power to heal by pouring of oil. But friends, we profess Christ. We profess Christ crucified and risen and coming again that can solve all of your life's problems. How can we, if we're faced with a problem that we don't know how to resolve, maintain our testimony and have others around us see, oh, what happened to your God? What happened to your Christ who could solve all of your problems? Boy, you just didn't react to that very well. All the naysayers, what kind of disbelief are we generating in how we react to certain challenges that we face? Sadly, all too many Christians, I hope and I trust that this is not you, sadly, all too many Christians resort to publishing their burdens and the failed attempts at resolution under the auspices of sharing a prayer request on social media. How often, and I don't know if you use social media or not, but for the few times that I've looked at it, there is countless people that I even know that say, oh, please pray for this because I just can't get a victory over this. Well, okay, except that that's out there for the entire world to read now. And how are you being a testimony in your strength through Jesus Christ to be able to handle life's circumstances? The naysayers are going to say, yeah, so much for your God that can handle all your problems. So much for your faith in a loving and forgiving God. Amen? All too often. Of course, there is, now don't get me wrong, there is power in prayer circles. There is power in praying for one another. There is power for asking for prayer, but don't ask for prayer to the mass public that doesn't know Jesus Christ. Don't air a burden that you might have for someone to those who have no idea what Christ can do for them. All they're going to do is turn it and use it against us. It only opens the door to confusion and debate, as we see here in our text. The multitude, the scribes, were questioning because they failed to cast out this demon. We must be more discerning as believers in general about with whom we discuss our burdens. Now, I'm not trying to chide you tonight, but friends, I know that when there's a burden on my heart, if I don't take it to the Lord first, and if I'm not careful who I talk to about it, my testimony is not going to be very good with some others that might not know Christ. Because it'll be viewed as me not being able to handle whatever comes my way. And friends, isn't that what we're called to do? We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Now, thankfully in our text, Jesus arrives. Isn't it fun? God comes just in the nick of time always. In our text, Jesus arrives, And he asks what the scribes are questioning. Now, I have to wonder, why would Jesus, who knows all things and God the Father gives him all understanding, why would Jesus walk up and ask the scribes, hey, what's going on here? What are you doing talking to them? My personal feeling, and I'm not going to stay on this too long, but my personal belief is that perhaps this is a similar question as to when God went to the Garden of Eden and said, Adam, where art thou? Scribes, why are you questioning them? Perhaps it's just that somewhat of a rhetorical question to point out that, you know, Jesus already knows the truth, and what are you doing questioning what God is doing? I don't know. Let's move on. By God's grace, this father in our text was close enough in proximity to Christ to hear him ask the question, and he explains, he answers immediately. Look at it in verse 17, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son which hath the dumb spirit. You see, he explains the whole situation. Now you can almost hear the father's frustration with the situation as it has been apparently, by some of the clues that we can see here, some years that he's had to deal with his son being like this. Have you had to deal with burdens for some years? Are you any closer to a resolution? We aren't told exactly how old his son is at this point. I'll put my teeth back in and be able to speak. But the text would kind of give us some clues that the boy should have been old enough at least to speak, because he said he has a dumb spirit, he can't speak, and that he should have been able to walk. So whether this boy was 3 or 4 years old or whether he was 10 or 12 years old, we don't exactly know. But clearly this is a matter of some years, because when Jesus asks in verse 21, he said, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. The Greek word here for of a child literally means since he was an infant. So for all of the years of this boy's life, he has been possessed with this dumb spirit, this demon who thrashes him on the ground, who tears at him, who throws him in the fire and throws him in the water, tries to drown him, tries to kill him, tries to do anything he can to take this boy away. You can almost hear the frustration of this father for the years that he's had to deal with this. Verse 22, the father says, if thou canst do anything. Don't we sometimes say that? Doctor, if there is anything that you can do to help. Lord God, if there is anything that you can do. I'm willing to do whatever you want, God. Because I'm done. I can't go on like this. I can hear it in the Father's voice. If there's anything thou canst do, have compassion on us and help us, this Father says. It brings us to what I believe is really the key portion of this account. Verses 23 and 24. The Bible says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Understand this passage. As this was given to me as I was reading this morning, understand that this father, not once did he give up on his son who was possessed with the devil from the day he was born. Not once did this father throw his son aside and say, I can't deal with him. I am going to love him and I'm going to do everything I can for him. I'm going to take him to the doctors. I'm going to take him to the disciples. I'm going to take him to the Lord. Not once am I going to give up. This is my son. I cannot let him go. Friends, do we have that kind of love for the burdens that we have? Are we willing to do whatever it takes to go to God, to go to the doctors, to do whatever it takes to not let go of our wayward child, to not let go of our wayward family member, to not let go of the burden that we have for our coworkers by saying, well, I tried once, that's it, it's up to them now. Oh, dear friends, don't give up. Don't give up on your burdens. Don't give up on this child. This father says, Lord, I'll do anything. I believe, Lord. But then there was a realization in that moment. Help thou mine unbelief. Because for all of the frustrating, failed attempts to get his son resolved, to get his son freed from this demon, that had to wear on the father. It had to cast doubt in anyone. Look, so many have tried. Your disciples have tried. If you can do anything. You see, there's some unbelief. There's some doubt. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do for us. The longer that we hold on to that burden, the longer that we pray, and the longer we see God tarrying for that particular burden, the more Satan turns up the heat to say, "See, I told you. See, God doesn't care for you. See, God doesn't love you. See, you don't matter to God." Oh, friends, we matter to God. Jesus said to him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Now, we've already read how this account turns out. The young man, of course, he was healed. But it brings to mind several things that I believe we need to consider. This problem has been going on for some years. I have to believe that the parents must have been doing everything in their power to help without success. But they never quit seeking help. They never quit seeking healing. They didn't give up hope, though there was certainly some frustration and doubt, as we have seen. They didn't stop caring for their son. They didn't stop crying for their son. Don't ever let anyone tell you that it's a weakness to cry. You've heard it said that God will take the tears and put them in a bottle. The tears are your love for that burden. Don't ever let anyone take the tears away. Nothing worked. Nothing worked for this father and his son until he went to the great physician and put their absolute entire trust and belief in Jesus Christ. Note the father's response in verse 24. That in tears he cried, "Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I've been frustrated, Lord. I've been doubting. But God, I care so much for my son. Take my unbelief away." Do you see? It's enlightening to realize that for this father, the healing process, not the ability to be healed, not Christ's ability to resolve the situation, but the healing process didn't begin until all of the father's doubt and disbelief were abandoned at the feet of Christ. If we're going to doubt that we can get through a situation, why would God allow the situation to be resolved? Because we're not trusting him yet. Not fully. Now, I can't presume to tell you that your burden will be healed, that your wayward child might be brought back to Christ. I can't presume to say that your burden will be resolved the way you think it should be. We've had our burdens. We've had those things that we have prayed for. And we've had those things that we've trusted the Lord for. But sometimes they get turned around in ways that we don't expect. Ways that we didn't consider. Perhaps the answer that we were hoping for didn't come as we were hoping. And like this father, I've experienced, and I still carry some certain burdens. And I still carry some frustrations that are only going to be resolved as God sees fit to do. And not until I give them completely to God and know beyond any shadow of a doubt that God will resolve them as God sees fit. Note one thing with me. As this father responded, when he asked for help, he said, where is it? "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Now, he had asked the disciples to cast out this demon. That was a specific healing request. But when he went directly to the Lord, he said, "God, just have compassion on us. Help us." I'm sure that you've had prayers that have been answered completely differently than you thought. Have you gotten upset with the Lord because he didn't answer the way you thought he should? Or have you realized that God is sovereign? God knows more than I will ever know in this life. I heard one time that God has forgotten more than I'll ever know. Well, God doesn't forget anything. But you understand the idea. God knows so much more about it than I ever will. And like this father, all I can ask for is compassion and for help. And that's what he did. He said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And God has shown me on a number of occasions that I've had to utter these very same words. Help my unbelief, Lord. Now, just as we see in our text, when the burden is resolved, there may be a time when it looks like all is lost. What do I mean by that? Look with me at verse 25 and 26 in our text again. Very carefully watch this. It says, when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. It may be that the resolution to your burden before the Lord turns out that it might hurt for a little while. It might look like all hope is lost, but do not give up hope. Do not stop trusting the Lord, because in just the way God wants to, and just by God's grace, we see verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. In the end, if we will only trust Christ, friends, we will see the lifting up of our spirits, regardless of the resolution to whatever the burden might have been. If we will trust Christ, we will see the lifting up of our spirits by the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ through the grace of God. Friends, don't give up. Give in to God completely. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord Jesus Christ, you know each and every soul in this auditorium, each and every soul in the sound of my voice, whether here or by the live stream. Father, you know us so intimately. You know the very burdens that we carry, the joys that we have, the frustrations that we face. Lord, no one knows us like you do. Oh, Father, I'm asking tonight that you would give us the strength and the courage to believe, to only believe, to not doubt, to not get frustrated, to not let Satan allow those temptations to flourish in our wicked hearts. But God, by the Holy Spirit, lift us up, even in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial, just as in the midst of that fiery, fiery furnace, you were there with them. Oh, Father, help us to see that you are with us in the midst of our burden. Help us, Lord, not to give up hope. Help us, Lord, not to doubt that you are working with our best interest in mind. Lord Jesus, that you are interceding on our behalf as you have promised. Oh, give us the joy. Restore us, Lord, to that peace that says, I am with you, even to the end of the world. Lo, I am with you always. Father, won't you guide us tonight? Won't you help us tonight? Encourage us in your word. Help us to see the wisdom of trusting in you. Father, if there's any here tonight that need that encouragement, oh God, may we as a church family be open, be receptive, but be very careful, Lord, to respect one another's burdens. To carry them in prayer, even without knowing all the details, but to carry the burdens in our prayers for each other. as you've commanded us to do. Lord God, I thank you for this message, and I thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. As we go our separate ways tonight, Lord, may we go encouraged. Lord, may we go rejoicing that the hand of Jesus Christ is holding us and that no man, not even ourselves, can pluck us from it. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for working in our hearts. And we ask and pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen.